very good at untangling.
That's great. Thank you, Steve. Really appreciate your ministry in music over the years as we've known each other. It's a real blessing. I just thought we might have a word of prayer after that wonderful offertory. Heavenly Father, may that be the prayer of praise in the heart and life of every born-again Christian who is serving you, whether it be from the pulpit, or it be on the piano, or it be in the home, or it be in the place of work or school. May it be our testimony that the longer we serve you, the sweeter you grow, not only for us, but for our young people. And as they grow, may they serve. And years from now, may it be their testimony too. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Father, now in this hour, as we share together in thy word, may we sense your sweetness. May we sense your power. May we sense your love for us and your concern for our every need. Bless then, we pray, our lives as we share together. May we sense your presence and the working of your Holy Spirit through the word to our hearts. For this we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The other Sunday, a few Sundays ago, I had something happen to me that didn't happen here, so don't worry about it. But I was dressed in my black suit, tie, white shirt it was that time. I entered a church, and I sat toward the back, kind of on the side, you know, right where somebody could reach me. And I opened my Bible before the service began, and I bowed my head to pray. And because I'm a pastor, I prayed for the pastor. And because I was sitting in the congregation, I also prayed for the congregation. And as I was praying for myself as well, with my Bible open in my lap, I had a wrap on my sleeve. And somebody said, "You sleeping?" And I stood up, and it was the pastor. He was a bit rough around the edges, I think. And I stood up and I said, "No, sir, I was just praying before the service." And he looked a little bit chagrined as he said to me, "Well, we do that here too." And he made a hasty exit. But someone told me afterward I should have stood up and said, "Well, why should I be sleeping? The sermon hasn't started yet." I didn't do that. And I trust that that won't be what happens this morning as we share together in the Word of God. Brother Dave, you haven't read the scripture for us yet. I'm going to ask you to come up, if you will, and read the scripture that we're going to be studying. Thank you, Dave.
I'm reading from the King James Version, Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48, if you want to turn to that. Luke 8, 43 to 48. And a woman, having an issue of blood, 12 years, who had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed by any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude crowd thee and press thee, and sayest thee, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody had touched me, for I perceive that power is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good cheer, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee well. Go in peace."
Thank you, Dave. Keep your Bibles open, if you would, to that passage of Scripture. I understand in this congregation, I don't know if I said it the other time, that some of you have Bibles, some of you have iPads, some of you have tablets, electronic, of course, some of you have iPhones, and you're reading from all kinds of different sources from the Word of God. So whatever it is you have, keep it open to that, if you would, because we want to study this passage of Scripture where Jesus met this woman, or this woman indeed met Jesus. If I were to give a title, and I usually do, to this passage of Scripture, the title would be "The Hem of His Garment." The hem of his garment. There's an old song that someone wrote many years ago. I don't remember the author, but it goes like this. It says, "She only touched the hem of his garment, as to his side she stole, amid the crowd that gathered around him, and straightway she was whole. She came in fear and trembling before him. She knew her Lord had come. She felt that from him virtue had healed her. The mighty deed was done. He turned with, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And peace that passeth understanding with gladness filled her soul.'" And the chorus goes, "Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to thee." Now, oftentimes I get into a passage of Scripture, my wife reminds me that I don't really give the outline as clearly as I could. And so what I've taken to doing is giving the outline before I really get into the passage, and then I forget about it. I would have three different things I'd like you to notice in this passage of Scripture. The first is this woman's trial of faith. The woman's trial of faith. What she had gone through. And then secondly, in this passage of Scripture, I want us to see the woman's touch of faith, her touch of faith. And thirdly, if we get to it, and I'm sure we will sooner or later, I would like you to notice this woman's, I wonder how many of us are healthy, not necessarily wealthy or wise, but we're healthy, and we're glad for our health until the day comes and we wonder whatever happened to it. Many people are trusting in their health, their strength, their own abilities, and in a moment it can be taken away. I had a deacon in my church in New York when I was pastoring there, had since moved to Pennsylvania when he retired, was in an evangelical free church. A few of you know what it is, many of you don't, that's fine. Was serving the Lord. Had a moment where his heart just kind of skipped a beat, I believe. Lost consciousness, fell backwards at a sporting event that this church was involved in and he was helping. Broke his neck, broke his back, and became loved the Lord, still does, barely made it through, but has had a testimony and a witness through YouTube and some of his devotionals as a quadriplegic that have touched the hearts and lives literally of thousands of people that he never would have had before. We can't always depend on our physical abilities. They won't always be with us. I understand that. Some of you understand it even more than I do. But we realize that this woman was at a dead end physically, for this issue of blood that had ostracized her for 12 years wasn't getting better. It was only getting worse. So physically, she indeed had lost her faith. Medically, she had lost her faith. She tried every remedy. She tried every doctor. She tried every pill, I suppose, every medicine that had been offered to her, hoping against hope that it would solve this problem that she had had now for 12 years. And it did nothing. And she grew worse. Financially, we read, she had spent all that she had on doctors. I always thought it was lawyers that love to see you walk through their door. And I understand that you can spend a mint before you even know it when you get the help and the advice of a, I hope there's no lawyers in this here today. If there is, I apologize already. But that's the word that goes out, you know, that if you spend money on lawyers, you're going to be spending a lot of money. This poor lady has spent so much money that she was financially bankrupt, and financially she had lost her faith. But one more thing, religiously she had too. For the kind of problem that she had and disease that she had, she couldn't depend on a priest. She couldn't even go to the temple, because under the Jewish law she was defiled, she was unclean, and she could not go. So religiously as well, she had lost her faith. I don't even want to get into how many people might have lost their faith religiously. Sometimes it's because of what they've been through. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's because of their experience with Christians who should have behaved better. I've had a lot of people say, I don't go to church anymore. And religiously, they've lost their faith. But this woman was determined to do something. This woman had heard of this man. And the more she heard of it, the more her faith began to well up within her. And we go from the trial of faith to the touch of faith. For she determined, if that man, and I firmly believe from further passages of Scripture, she was becoming more and more confident that this was not just a man. He was indeed the Christ, the Son of God. If this person ever comes into my area, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to find him. And faith comes by hearing, we hear, and hearing by the word of God. This woman heard not only about him, but later she heard, he's here. And she went. And as she went, and the throngs were just pressing around him, people jostling him about, the crowds were probably far greater than she expected them to be. She had a mission, and in her mind she said, if I could but touch him, I'm sure I'd be whole. And so amid the throng, she touched him. And amid the throng, he felt it. And as she touched him, he stopped. And he asked the question, who touched me? Well, the disciples, they kind of probably smiled and smirked a little bit and said, who touched you? Good heavens, we were touching you. The crowd was touching you. Everybody that's pressing against you is touching you. They've never stopped touching you. What do you mean, who touched you? Jesus said, no. For I perceive that virtue has gone out from me. Someone has touched me. The touch of faith. It was an individual touch of faith. Just one person
just one person at that point touched the Lord in the way that that woman did. It was an intentional touch of faith. She intended to touch him, and touch him she did. She somehow made her way through the crowds, made her way close to the Lord. And we're told that the hem of his garment was actually speaking of the very bottom of the hem of where she touched. She reached down and purposely touched the hem of his garment. Her touch of faith was individual. Her touch of faith was intentional. Her touch of faith was intelligent. She knew what she was doing. She knew what she wanted to do. She knew that if she could only touch him, she had that faith that she would be made whole. And instantly when she touched him, before she ever could speak to him, before she ever realized that he felt that virtue go from him, instantly, the Bible says, she was made whole. Physically, medically, financially, religiously, she had lost her faith, but she began to touch him in a way that she had never, ever dreamed that she could touch him before. And in that moment, that intelligent touch of faith, she was healed. May I say something? One more thing. It was also an inconspicuous touch of faith. Inconspicuous. In that crowd, nobody saw her. Nobody noticed her. Nobody realized what was happening. Nobody realized what she was doing. But I want to tell you something happened. And pardon me for a moment if I liken this to our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That moment that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that's an inconspicuous moment. Others don't always know it. Usually they don't know it. But you know it. And God knows it. And in that moment that nobody else may know about, you and the Lord have come into a relationship that will never, ever cease. Never cease. Never cease. That's the relationship that we need with the Lord, isn't it? Inconspicuous though it is. But it brings us to my third point, and I'm watching that clock because I got started a little late, and I don't want to be too late when I finish. Something of the trial of this woman's faith. First, the trial. Secondly, the touch. And third, the triumph. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "Everybody touched you." Jesus said, "No, one person touched me that I felt." And when she saw that she was not hid, the Bible says, she came forth. And she came trembling. And she fell down before him. And I love this part because Mark says it one way and Luke says it another way. And let me give it to you if I may. In that passage before us, we discover that she told all that had happened to her, Mark's gospel, before all the people that were gathered there. She told all that had happened to all the people. You know, two things here. First of all, I see here her salvation by faith. For when he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole," the literal translation of this passage of Scripture is simply this: "Daughter, thy faith hath saved thee." Thy faith hath saved thee. And there are only two passages in Scripture where God ever says through the Son, go in peace. And one was the woman that washed his feet with her hair and the ointment, if you remember that story. He said, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. And to this lady, he says, thy faith hath saved thee, has made thee whole. Not only have you been healed of your disease, but you have been healed and touched and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Her salvation by faith. But it goes from that salvation by faith to a confession of faith. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, it may be secret. But I want to tell you something. From my understanding of Scripture, God never intended that salvation experience in our lives should remain secret for long. God wants us to tell the world that he's our Savior and to declare to all of the people, all that will listen, all of the truth that Christ has done for you and for me. That's our plan. That is God's plan for us, I should say. That is the work that he would have us to do. Her salvation by faith, go in peace. Her confession of faith, she declared to all of the people, all of the things that he had done. And it's God's expectation that we should do the same. I gave a testimony only twice before. My wife had never heard this before a few weeks ago. I wish a few of the young people were here, I'll tell you that. Because I feel that it's important. When I was young, I asked my mother, really young, I don't remember it, so young, so far away, so long ago, both at my age, that was quite a while ago. I asked her how to receive the Lord as my Savior. And my mother took me into the pantry. Steve, you've heard this testimony before, I'm sure, at Heritage. We knelt down and bowed, and I asked Jesus into my heart. Well, you know what? I was so young I didn't remember it. I won't tell you what happened at my baptism. That's another story for another time. But I remember I was growing up in New Hampshire. I'm an American. I like to say proud American. I'm beginning to wonder with our candidates that are going to be next in power. In New Hampshire, I was two fields away from the house, as I recall. It was a farmhouse. And I had cut my foot. I gashed my foot. As a little kid, probably now 7, 8, I guess, I thought I was going to die. It was just bleeding like crazy. And I didn't know how much blood I had in me. I just had made a beeline for the house. But you know something? As I was running, I said, what if I die? And there was a rock right in the middle of the field that I was, pasture that I was going through. There are cows and cow patties that I had to watch out for, I'm sure. That big rock. And I remember, it was quick. I remember just dropping in front of that rock and saying, Lord, if I didn't mean it before, I mean it now. And then I kept running. Well, I guess I survived. I'm here. I said, Lord, if I didn't mean it before, I mean it now. I was probably a teenager, 15, 16, in the church that I grew up in Troy Baptist Church in New Hampshire. We had a pastor. I mentioned his name in a church up in Goodwood. About 30 people there, just a small congregation. I happen to give this testimony for the second time. First time was when Steve was there at Heritage. And I happen to mention the name of the pastor, Pastor Westerholm. And a couple came up to me. He's one of the deacons, or has been one of the deacons in that church. And he said, we have a story to tell you. I said, what's that? I don't know why I mentioned his name, but I did. He said, well, as soon as you said Pastor Westerholm, Sue, that was the wife, looked at me, and I looked at her, or I think Sue was talking.
She said, when God looked at me and I looked at him, she said, we couldn't believe our ears because Pastor Westerholm was our pastor and he married us. And I was up here in Niagara Falls somewhere, I believe. So after he left Troy, I guess he went up there, but out of 35 people, I just happened to mention a name and they came forward after the service was over to tell me what a wonderful, wonderful story that was to them, anyway. But the pastor Westerholm on a Wednesday night, I had to go to Sunday school, I had to go to Sunday morning, I had to go to Sunday evening, I had to go to Wednesday night prayer meeting, I had to go to young people's group, most of it not because I was sent, but because I was brought. You don't get out of it if you've been brought, you know, it makes a difference. I had it rough, I told them, as a young kid with the churches, I had so many meetings I had to attend, what a shame. Anyway, that Wednesday night, I can't remember what Pastor Westerholm said. Don't remember a word of it, but I remember that it convicted my heart. And I remember bowing my knees at the bed that night, getting out of the bed, actually, and bowing down. And you know what I prayed? You better believe it. Lord, if I didn't mean it then, I mean it now. I wish I could tell young people, you may have trusted the Lord and prayed a prayer. But oh, how we need to secure that relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. How we need to make sure of it. I wouldn't care if they prayed it a half a dozen times. I don't mean come up to the altar to be saved again every morning, every Sunday morning. I mean to secure that relationship you have with the Lord. If I didn't mean it before, Lord, I mean it now. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to save me. I want you to cleanse me from my sin. There's one other prayer that I've prayed all the way through, and I've been through some rough patches, trust me. And I remember praying it from the time I was a teenager and watching my friends go out of the church and going here and going there and getting into this and getting into that, even my own brothers and sister. Another prayer is this. Lord, don't let me go. Simple prayer, but I meant it. Lord, don't let me go. I don't want to go. I don't want to be out of fellowship with you. Lord, don't ever let me go. And I've been through some rough spots. I've been through areas in my life where I've been faithless to him, but he has been faithful to me. How wonderful it is to have that kind of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This woman entered into a relationship that would change her life forever, both physically and spiritually. Thy faith has saved thee. I'm not going to give an altar call. Steve, don't worry about it. Don't know if you do here or not. But if there's anyone here that has never, ever trusted the Lord as your Savior, he died for your sins and he loves you more than you could ever know. How wonderful it would be if in the quietness of your heart to bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and into my life. Cleanse me from my sin. Be my Savior. What a change it would make. What a wonderful change it would make forever. And I do mean forever in your life. Well, just a few thoughts from the study on the hem of his garments. I trust it has blessed your heart, certainly blessed mine in studying it and preparing it. I trust that we've had some practical applications from it too, that we can think about and pray about and say, Lord, make that mine. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your time, the time that we've had, rather, around thy word. Thank you for the holy word of God. And thank you, Father, that you've promised not to bless my words, but not one word from your word will go void. Not one word from your word will return to you unblessed. Father, bless then this time we've spent. We thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.